The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi, and hello, football fans. Welcome to Week 14. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. Presented, as always, by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Impromptu.
It's not impromptu anymore. We've
not
been
really
doing this every week.
It's about week 14. Yeah. You know, it's what we're doing.
We love salad.
Hey, regular season's greetings to everybody out there. We've got a few more weeks to go, and then the main event arrives. I was thinking about that the other day. Isn't it weird? We're so caught up in what this game means and what that one means, and in about 4 weeks, all of it will barely be able to remember anything that happened. Once the wild card games kick off, let's say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Here as we jump into week 14 in the still very important matchup, some real juicy ones too, some easy calls. We'll go through those and we'll tell you who's going to win the big week 14 games. And we'll start off by saying hello to the guy seated to my immediate left. He's one half of the best radio show in all the land, Petros and Money, available on iHeartRadio. He's the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers, who were kind of at the epicenter of a conspiracy theory that I've been floating for the last fortnight.
Oh, yeah, you have.
And Willie McGinnis.
How'd that go over with him?
Well, Cleveland Browns legend Willie McGinnis had some pushback on it, and he had another scenario in mind for his old pal Tom Brady and Bill Belichick going forward, not just for the remainder of this season, but in the next season. Anyway, the guy who I'm talking about, also on NFL Now every Thursday and Friday, it's Matt Money Smith. What's happening, fella?
Can I be a moment of honesty here?
I'd like that.
Before we got on the air, someone brought in donuts.
Yeah.
And it led to a pretty substantial donut conversation.
Donuts
and
good.
Some substantial donut eating
and,
as well.
Yes. And the problem with donuts is, as long as there's donuts left, it's just a wild distraction. And they happen to be in my periphery. So if we don't dust if we don't dust those donuts, and by the way, it's donuts with a Z because Zaxby's gave them to us.
Right.
So if we don't dust those donuts, it's going to be hard for me to concentrate.
Can I get you a donut, Money?
Would you get one with me?
Sure.
You
want to
just so we can get rid of them all?
Yeah, no problem.
Dave, you want one as well?
Dave,
just so
I'll
we can get
one.
Rid of these. Let's just get rid of the donuts. That way it's not a distraction.
Sorry.
Eddie Spaghetti.
You want one as well, Eddie?
Mini Spaghetti.
Yeah.
Eddie Angel Hair. Any interest in a donut for either one of you?
Trust me, I want to eat the whole box.
Oh, look.
There's little
He's holding it.
Mini Eddie got one already.
I want to eat that whole box and make while making direct eye contact with you.
You want to eat the box.
I do want to eat the whole thing, but I can't. I gotta lay off.
There you go, Dave.
Thank you.
I was just too distracted.
These have the nice pudding inside?
Wait, do they?
Oh, these are just, that's all that is. It's just a raised
donut. Now, the way that Zaxby's does their donuts.
I'm going to have this one because it's closest to
in
me.
A more traditional manner.
Ooh, tastes like chicken.
Mm.
Delicious.
You know what I learned from Alton Brown, famous chef,
sure.
And also probably the most popular face now on the Food Network? This was, you're doing food TV, small bites.
That is right.
This isn't food
because
TV,
because then you can
buddy.
Continue to talk while you have a small bite
this
of food
isn't food
in
TV.
Your mouth.
I may have.
Well, no, it allows us to continue our conversation without.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just going to eat the donut the way I want to.
I may have mentioned before. I once worked on the Man Show, and
the half
of that show with Jimmy Kimmel. He to this day makes that same mistake on television all the time.
Takes a massive bite.
Because he wants to be authentic, you know. He's a method eater.
See, and now that I've done this,
he has to
eat as big a bite of whatever it is, and then he has to like struggle for the next 58 seconds on camera, trying to talk with his mouth full.
You know what just occurred to me?
The eyes of judgment walked in the room. Mark Brady. Yes, they did.
That did occur to me. I think these donuts were for the crew, and I think we've eaten a whole lot.
They're delicious. Now go get yourself some.
Sorry, guys.
Let's dig in on week 14.
I'm digging in, all right.
Some donuts. I do want to say before we go any further, the issue with these donuts is that they're raised, and of course, why just survive on raised donuts in a world that includes cake donuts?
Right.
That's living. The cake donut is superior.
I'm eating one right now.
Yeah.
You got a cake one?
I did. Yeah.
You stink. I got stuck with the raised business. Just like tastes like bread with some slathered with a little bit of cream on top.
Oh, Dave's too good for donuts now.
Yeah. You just described what a donut is.
No. A cake has some heft to it. Means something in your belly, you know?
Oh, it's
your belly doesn't forget what's in there.
Right.
Good for you. Enjoy that.
Thank you,
hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I don't want to go too far on the food thing when I get into football. But sure. Another thing I observed coming out of Thanksgiving 2019, what gives? It feels like this is the year where our society of narcissists just decided, I don't like turkey, and so we're doing surf and turf at the house, or lasagna at the house, or otherwise.
It's an interesting observation.
Well, did you hear a lot of that? Not a lot of turkeys going around, or not as many.
We talked about it a week ago when we were here with Cole Wright. If turkey was such a great product, if it was such a great meat, why would you only eat it once a year? I don't believe that's how America thinks when it comes to food or, in fact, anything.
Fair point.
If it's good enough, you wouldn't restrict it just to Thanksgiving. So, and which is why, wow, you know, my point stands. Turkey is a bottom five meat. It's not in the top 10 meats out there.
From a man who was raised on mutton. You know your meats.
Mutton's above turkey.
Oh, it is not.
Yeah,
mutton
of course
is
it
not
is.
Above turkey.
Of course it is. No,
that
lamb
is crazy
is,
talk.
Lamb is, but
I love lamb. Mutton
mutton's
is not.
Probably just on the same level
no,
as turkey.
No, it is below.
No,
it,
lamb no, is above turkey.
Lamb is above turkey. Mutton is below.
Mutton is above
the
turkey.
The debate is turkey. It's, I think the baseline evaluation of turkey is duck. You know?
Yeah, I think below duck.
I think that's. I'll take
that's
turkey.
Crazy.
If I have to choose one to the exclusion of the other for the rest of my life, I'm going to go with turkey.
Only because duck is so rich that
that's,
you couldn't keep
you
eating it. It knocks,
yeah, it
you
knocks
up.
You out.
That's not the
You're
reason.
You're sleeping on a nice turkey sandwich. Put together
leftover
with the
turkey sandwich day after Thanksgiving, delicious. Especially King's Hawaiian roll, little mayo. Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
all of
it.
Those things, a little mayo, because you need something to take away the taste of the fact that turkey. Basically, especially when it's a day old, doesn't really taste amazing.
Are you running around eating plain chicken?
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
I love plain chicken.
No, you don't.
Well,
you put at least something on it. You're putting oil, or you're putting some lemon. You're putting a little bit of sauce on it.
Maybe
a nice mole.
Glaze.
I mean, right? It's not like you're eating it dry. It's okay to put stuff on meat. Jeez.
I'm with you.
Well, I feel bad that came up, because that was an embarrassing, perhaps the most embarrassing moment of Cole Wright's life when he tried to make a case for the deliciousness of turkey. It's like it's not even a top five meat, man.
No,
I mean, whatever.
Close.
No matter how optimistic you are. Anywho, I mentioned duck a minute ago, and that reminds me to talk about pro football, because it's one of the feel-good stories going in the 2019
in that chair.
Hey, Dave, would you mind introducing me? We got taken a little off track.
He's riding high with his beloved Miami Dolphins. They're taking on all comers. Another win awaits him on Sunday in New Jersey against the Jets. Or does it? We'll figure it out. It's Handsome Hank.
Thanks,
Dave.
I only did that because sometimes I feel if you haven't introduced me, should I still be talking? Or am I waiting for something?
Not official.
Something's knocking around in the back of my head.
Exactly.
Right.
But it was really
like
money and
the
donut thing.
I was distracted.
Yep.
Now
have
I feel
you
great.
Eaten your donut already?
I didn't eat it. I dusted that donut.
Should we later on? Let's share there that last one.
Let's close that
box. I just realized,
there.
See, it's always a great day when you learn something new, especially at my advanced age. Today is the first day I ever found out that a Long John doesn't include cream. Why would anybody order that thing?
What?
Why would you order that? Why would you order a Long John in a world of buttermilk?
It's a bar. It's just shaped differently. Maybe you don't like the hole in the middle.
So you're not going to eat that?
No, you want that?
You want it?
I mean, maybe in a minute.
Oh,
in like 10 minutes.
We might have to send mini spaghetti out for refreshments, some more donuts. Let's talk pro football for a little bit, shall we? And
why not?
Let's get the reactions. Everybody else is doing it.
My fingers. I'm not going to lick them.
The big, all the MVP talk, that's taking a back seat. The playoff picture. By the way, that is one of my very favorite activities. When your team is in the mix in any given pro football year, right around now, when you get to sit down and think like, okay, so my team needs to win that one and win that one. If they can lose that one, because that's in the other conference, but then that team, if that team wins and they're going to jump past us, that's what some of the most fun stuff. Go to NFL.com.
Well, that's what you've been doing.
The playoff picture stuff is
super
fun.
That's all you've been doing.
Well, that's exactly right.
It's a
very
big
exciting time. It really is.
What does
very...
your calculus say? 9-7 or 10-6?
I've been consistent. I really nailed that way back when in September. I said 9-7 is where they're going to finish. It's an issue of, is 10 the threshold? Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's getting to be 9 now.
Yeah,
look,
but it depends
on
which 9. It's
up.
Like, have you beaten the right teams to be the one?
I think as it stands right now,
and
the
I think
Steelers
they're in good
The Steelers
good
have
spot
it right now, but the Titans are even with them. And, you know, the
they're a game up in the conference record.
All the 6-6 teams are likely done if you do the math on it. But yeah, so it kind of is going to come down to Titans or Steelers, and the Raiders could do themselves and the Steelers a big favor by vanquishing the Titans in the East Bay this weekend. But as I say, a lot of these issues have taken a back seat because The coaching, you know, roller coaster. The
carousel has begun.
The carousel, got going a little early this year. And I think ultimately a good move. A lot of people are praising David Tepper for doing it, saying, well, I don't want to be doing this and Ron Rivera not knowing what's going on. I'm going to do him a solid and let him go and see what else is out there now while we commence with our coaching search. Ron Rivera, does he land anywhere, Handsome Hank, in time for 2020?
I think he does for exactly the reason that you said. I think he's now on the market for the clubs that are going to wind up looking for a coach, and there's probably going to be six, seven teams in that mix. And then also it means that they can get a head start on and actually talk to coaches without them saying, I don't want to talk to you guys because you have someone in place. I said it earlier today, I can't remember a more respectful, kind of mutually respectful parting of ways between a coach and a team than Ron Rivera leaving the Panthers. I think it's, you know, it's great. They gave him a chance to have a press conference and talk to the players today and everything else, you know, a day after they announced it. The owner explained, which you very rarely see an owner sit down and explain why he did this and have a really good reasoning behind it. I think the whole thing just, you know, it's not a good thing. Someone's losing a job. I do think Ron Rivera will find a new job pretty quickly, and I think the Giants and the Browns are some of the teams that should be thinking about him in the future. But it just seems like a really kind of a good way of handling it.
Yeah, recycling coaches doesn't always work, but there is some evidence that if you're a successful coach, not merely a guy who's held the position before, Andy Reid's a good example of that. Sometimes it does, you know, and I think if you just ride it out in the over the decade or whatever, that eventually it'll come back around for Ron Rivera. David Tepper wants to move on and put his brand on this, put his stamp on the team that he owns. That's his right. I think Ron Rivera, though, will go somewhere and succeed. And there are some prime places that make a ton of sense. The Browns make a lot
of
sense.
That's the number one to me. That's you just need stability. You need consistency. Someone who's been through it at the highest levels, took a quarterback to an MVP season in the regular season, a team to the Super Bowl. Like, you look at what that team is, and it's exactly what we said it was going to be at the start of the season for those that did not believe in Believeland. That it was just, you have a first-year head coach, too many dominant personalities. If it barely gets off the rails, it's going to become an instant mess, and I think Freddie Kitchens has proven everybody right. Now, whether or not John Dorsey wants to bring in a dominant personality like that, I don't know. Or if he would be more interested in a quarterback guru whisperer to pair with Baker Mayfield. To me, that's what you need there. You have enough talent. Just get some stability.
I think the balance is what seems to have worked in the 21st century is if the focal point of what you want to do is the QB and you have this volatile guy in Baker Mayfield, I think you find somebody to work with him, but you then get a defensive guy as your head coach. That would be a perfect marriage. It worked, obviously, in Carolina with Cam and Rivera, so why not up in Cleveland? I wonder with the Jets if that might make some sense. It sounds like they're not going to move on. Then the Giants become a possibility. This is an exciting time because the names, you know, Lincoln Riley's name, it seems almost certain he's going to move. You're tied in, it feels to me, money through you and Petros into college football. Do you get the sense that Lincoln Riley is ultimately going to move?
The number one name I keep hearing with college to the pros is Matt Rhule. Just because he should have been the Jets head coach. It was ridiculous what McKegnan did to that guy and told him he couldn't pick his own staff. He should have been the head coach there. And by all accounts, he is a legitimate candidate for a number of spots. You've heard him tied to Jacksonville. Now, what happens if Baylor wins? You know, if Baylor defeats Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game, you're talking about avenging your only loss. Probably, I think, because of Rhule's profile, a higher profile with the media program compared to Utah and Kyle Whittingham. And then you get into the playoff and you're Matt Rhule after your team was basically winless, the one you inherited, an absolute disaster of a situation that Art Briles left behind, a disgusting situation, really, that you had to clean up, essentially vanquish three quarters of your team, and you're already in the playoff. I don't know.
Boy,
they got a lot of money in Texas. I don't know if you can walk away from that.
It's funny. I had not considered the meaning of that game because whoever wins that game, that guy is going to be less accessible for NFL interviews for the next month, right?
He could
fall behind a little bit.
Right.
But Lincoln Riley, for obvious reasons, makes sense to move up to Cleveland and work with his old pal, Bake. And Urban Meyer is skewing towards college. Do you think he takes a USC gig?
Well, I think the USC would love to have him, I think. I mean, and look, SC is weird. It's a weird, you have a law. Like, the best way I can I can explain USC as, think of it as Washington, D.C., where people get so obsessed with elected officials that they forget there are Washington, D.C. lifers that run that place. And they have been there for 40 or 50 years, and it is damn near impossible to get anything done without them cooperating. SC is very similar, where you have a board of trustees, you have people that have been involved in that university for decades, and they struggle to relinquish any control, which is why you have coaches like Sarkisian, like Lane Kiffin, you know, when Pete Carroll came in, like Pete Carroll, because they want people they can control. And those people don't want to let it go. And that's
what
Urban is a tough fit for them.
NFL fans will laugh at this idea in the calendar year 2019. But the guy who would turn that team around and make and elevate them a little bit is Jeff Fisher. I know people think that's silly. I think that actually would not be.
Let me see what's coming up next year. I'm just
I'm just telling you. I think that one would work out. And the other name.
I just can't imagine Jeff Fisher going into a living room. I mean, you have to recruit. You've got kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was an NFL head coach. I know exactly what it takes.
I don't think that works. I don't think that works as well as it used to. Just because of the amount, I mean, Alabama's going to probably have 10 guys go in the first round. So appreciate that you were there, Jeff Fisher. But Nick Saban is putting 10 guys into the NFL in the first round this year.
You bring me to my
year.
Next name, Nick Saban. Do you think he bounces out of Tuscaloosa, Handsome Hank's hometown, and moves on to the NFL world once again?
I think this year there's a window. Nick is
really.
He's just such a prickly guy that he gets upset over little things. And I could see people in Alabama saying, what a disgusting year, 12 men on the field, penalty, illegal substitution. We should, doggone it, we ought to be there. They say, you know, Saban's mailing it in, and him being like, wait a minute. I lost one game on a fluky play and another one because my backup quarterback threw two pick sixes and I don't even have my starting guy. And you're telling me that it was a disgusting year and I need to control. See you guys later. I'm out of here. Yeah, let's see what life is like without me. Like, I could envision that sort of scenario.
I could see him doing all of that and then parlaying it into an even bigger contract in Alabama and sticking around.
Could be that as well.
Right. That's a possibility. And one other name I want to throw out there, because it did come up a couple of years ago when the Giants had some availability. And if you've been watching the 100th year stuff, the position group stuff that Chris Collinsworth and Eisen and Bill Belichick are doing, he seems awfully enamored with his Lawrence Taylor Giants days. There, you know, he still is tied in, Bill Parcells, all that kind of stuff. Doesn't that make sense for them to throw money at? But also, doesn't it make sense for Jerry Jones, now presumably going to be leaving the Jason Garrett era, to say, you know, blank check, what do you want, coach? And I will be out of the way. I already am out of the way.
He might say that, but he can't.
Steven
can't.
Is the GM, not Jerry at this point. He'll say, like, yeah, guess what? Steven doesn't have to say anything, coach.
But people want to hear from Jerry because they don't want to hear from Jason Garrett.
Right.
Once Nick Saban shows up, they're not going to want to hear from Jerry anymore. All they care about is what Nick Saban has to say.
Well, no, maybe Nick goes to Foxborough to take over for his friend Bill.
So you're saying Bill
goes
is going
to the Giants,
Dallas.
Or he goes to the Cowboys. Or Jim Harbaugh, if you want a short-term spike,
my brain's a pretzel.
Send Jim Harbaugh to Cleveland. That would be a quick turnaround. You want to take advantage of having Odell and Jarvis and managing big personalities? Jim Harbaugh would do well
for
3 years.
Cleveland. Saban goes to New York or
to Dallas?
To Boston.
We got to figure out where Ron Rivera's moving. USC? I don't know. Anyway, let's move on, and now let's jump into this week's edition of Fresh Takes, presented again by our pals at Zaxby's. Reminder, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads.
And
now I hear donuts. I'm still looking to confirm the veracity of that.
Donuts.
But today's question is, in honor of the aforementioned 100th year all-time team, a lot of controversy. I suppose that's what it's supposed to do, is to
create
make
debate.
Well, it is, and it depends on what generation you grew up in, and that's where you're going to line up. That kind of makes sense. I will say again, though, Dutch Clark and these guys, Bill Hewitt, like guys who played without helmets, it was a minor league sport in the 30s. What relevance they have?
They couldn't play in the 80s. All those guys could do was play in their decade and absolutely dominate the competition.
Dominate
that's all
the
they
competition.
Could do.
Yeah, the competition was my forefather. That's the level of was a non. If you were a high end athlete in 1932, you would have been a prize fighter or a baseball player. Football wouldn't have been an option. That's why it doesn't make
a
difference.
Maybe they were violent, and that was their outlet.
Here's the thing. Baseball, if you want to use as a measure Major League Baseball, you're doing it wrong, because Babe Ruth basically kind of, those Yankees, the early 20s, coming out of the Black Sox scandal, those Yankees kind of ignite the modern era. Now, 25 years later, Jackie Robinson integrates the game, and that's the most seminal moment, and then breaking balls, for a practical reason, impact baseball too. But you largely, it's a team sport, but it's an individual deed standing in the batter's box, and you can evaluate statistics over generations more easily, right? Like that.
I'm not going to die on that hill. You're fine.
It's crazy. I mean, like Sammy Baugh, right? Great. Okay. Otto Graham did what? All right. I mean, who cares? It was a minor league sport. But to the here and
fine.
Now,
let's
I don't
get
like
to
some-
let's get to Carnell Lake, Rod Woodson, Troy Polamalu. Who's your fourth?
I didn't even tell you what we're talking about
yet.
I didn't even tell you what we're talking about yet.
Just fast forward.
Coming up this week, Belichick and company are going to be chopping up the secondary. They give themselves, I think it's 7 corners and 4 safeties. We'll just let's just
2 and 2.
Two and two.
Give us your 4.
I'll even throw you a nickel if you want to throw a nickel in there.
Who's a fifth Steeler that I forgot?
Yeah.
Somehow, got to make sure he gets in.
Minka Fitzpatrick, he's in.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Joe Hayden with a big-time interception to close out those Browns. Now, I will go with, and all right, now you're going to get angry, or not get angry.
I'm not going to get angry. I'm just going to say, yeah, of course.
All right, I'll be interested then. I'll lay out mine for you, and then you can provide any points.
Why don't we lay out ours? Because there's more mystery in ours than yours.
Okay, fine, go.
My number one pick, the best player in the secondary I've ever seen play, does actually fit for you. It's Rod Woodson.
Yes.
I think Rod Woodson
is the
best defensive back I've ever watched.
Number one.
Great. All right. We all sign off then.
My number two?
Yep.
Deion Sanders.
I'm with you there, Money. So there are our corners.
Wait. If you're watching us, and we encourage you to
Woodson
do so
was
on
ridiculous.
YouTube,
Woodson
look
was,
at him. A highlight.
Woodson at his best.
A story old as time. The Steelers defeating the Browns. Rod Woodson this time with the glory. He gets the pick there. And there's Rod Woodson as a safety, and he shares that with Charles Woodson, playing both
dominated
positions
both.
Well mm-hmm. for a long time. Yeah, Charles Woodson more than Rod Woodson, really. That it felt like you were past Rod Woodson's prime by the time he made that switch. Charles Woodson, I remember the whispers at the time, like, I don't think he can make it as a corner anymore. He's going to make the switch to safety a la Woodson, but he thrived for like another 8-9 years, it seems like. So Charles Woodson is in the mix.
All right, so there's our corners.
So they're the corners. My safety.
Well, I want one more corner. Two more. From Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, Darrell Revis is the best corner of the 21st century, right?
I think Darrell gets into that conversation. I mean, if you're talking peak, I think Champ Bailey's in conversation as peak level. But I just think of longevity. Like, to me, there's such a big separation between Rod, Deion, and everyone else.
Exactly.
I think now we're talking Darryl Green and Aeneas Williams and Champ Bailey and Darrell Revis. And you can, you know, like you said, where did you grow up? What were you watching?
Yeah.
How do you feel? I think certainly Darrell's in there.
Laugh it up all you want. But the guy who you really do need to throw out when you have this conversation. Oh, by the way, Mark Haynes is another one.
Absolutely.
With the Patriots and then with the Raiders, of course, and with Lester Hayes on the other side, they shut down the greatest offense that the NFL probably had ever seen to that point when they vanquished those Redskins in Super Bowl 18. That's the famous Marcus Allen turnaround.
And, I would probably put Haynes ahead of any of those guys, too.
Well, the other one, I mean, the guy who really has to be shouted out is Mel Blunt. He literally made them change the rules. He was too dominant.
Yes.
He was too physical on NFL wide receivers that they literally modified the rules before 1978 to reduce the impact that a corner could have in handling a guy.
Fine with that.
So I don't know how you lay it out there, but I think if we're going to include a nickel, which I have just now decided we are, I think you got to go Woodson, Blunt, and Deion.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay. Fine with that.
Safety.
I'm taking Ronnie Lott.
Obviously.
Sure.
I would take Ed Reed.
And then I would take Ed Reed. That's what I would do. Those would be
fair.
My safeties.
I know you don't. I know
Come
you're
on,
saying.
Dave.
I know what I know what you're getting at. That's fine. You can have. You
gave
me my nickel. I'll allow you your.
This isn't about you.
No, you don't have to give. You don't have to give us.
Those
Ed Reed.
Are the two best safeties of all time.
It's not close.
Who's on your mind? Earl Thomas.
Oh God! Did you see what Mostert did to him?
No.
Earl's seen his best days.
Yes, he has.
Just go ahead and watch the replay of that Mostert run down that sideline when Earl got stuck.
He really has. It's a classic case of like, oh, wow, he looks all used up in Seattle, and Pete Carroll doesn't seem to really care if he moves on at this point. We'll fix him.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be good for us.
Just watch that one play. Yeah. It's like, ooh, he moved like he used to.
Okay, obviously Troy Polamalu would be somebody you would
consider. He's behind Ed Reed.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yes. No, you don't guess so. It's okay. It's all right. Troy's a great player.
But don't
he's
present
not
this
Ed Reed.
Like you've given
Where's my
one?
Ed Reed video? Why do I only have Troy Polamalu right. B-roll? Well, how do I not have Ed Reed B-roll?
I'm a kid surprised.
I don't like the B-roll because I can tell by looking at it and looking at the light and it's sad.
I can tell that
was from the AFC title game in 2000 January.
Look at that. Now watch. I mean, come on. Fantastic. Oh, my heart is warm.
Ed Reed.
It's Ed and Ronnie.
If you showed it though to the untrained eye, to the novice football fans,
that's not who I want to make my list of the four greatest.
You saw it,
I don't want the untrained eye to make my
list.
What
defensive player this side of Lawrence Taylor made splashier plays more consistently than Troy Polamalu? But I'm just throwing that out.
Splashy plays leads to missed assignments because of over pursuit, and that's what you took with Troy. You took the good with the bad.
He guessed right.
Now that I see the orange crush, where's my Atwater highlights too?
Right.
Let me see some thumping.
The other guy on this list, and you, Dave, you mentioned earlier, like who did you grow up with? Kenny Easley when I first discovered the sport, was I don't know why, but just caught my eye because he seemed ahead of his time playing that position.
Yep.
And it was him and Ronnie Lott who were the best in the game.
And the other guy who died young was Don Rogers for the Browns, was dynamite and tracking towards a great career. Sean Taylor, another guy
who's
certainly too soon.
Eric Turner, another guy for the Browns, playing at safety, who was a great player.
I guess we can throw Jake Scott in there, the most famous Miami Dolphins number 13 ever. The only Miami Dolphins number 13 to ever hoist the Super Bowl MVP trophy.
That's right.
That's weird. It's a good little trivia question for you. Eddie Spaghetti. Remember that one. Impress your friends with that one.
Okay. Use your noodle.
Okay, so there we did. So there
good
we
stuff.
Go.
I think we did really well, though.
I think so, too.
That was nice and clean. I thought we did a decent job.
Did
I just wondered
did
this we
week.
Forget
They're
anybody
picking
that...
the kicker. I'm punching for
we'll
the
take a pass on
team.
That one.
Let's not do that.
I mean, that's a pretty easy one, too, anyway, right? I don't know about punter. I don't have strong opinions on punters.
Right.
But, I mean, I think...
Reggie Roby. Should we throw Reggie Roby in
there? You said Justin Tucker?
It's got to be Justin Tucker.
I mean, what about the clutch kicks of Adam?
He's not even on this list, actually.
In the Super Bowl? The snow game, the Tuck Rule game. I mean, that knuckleball that he put through that started the dynasty, and then a game winner in New Orleans against the mighty Rams. I mean, come on.
Then a game winner against the Panthers.
That's what I want. I want clutch. That's all you care about from your kicker. Whatever with your 90% connection rate, Tucker. Don't care.
Money, you and I have gotten to talk to Adam Vinatieri a few times.
Multiple times. Every Super Bowl.
He's always delightful, huh?
Why wouldn't he be, right? He's a Dakota kid who's
never got tackled. Made a famous tackle early in his career. Never had to touch
him. Played for the Amsterdam Admirals.
Is that right?
NFL Europe, yep. Punter and kicker.
Really?
Yep.
That explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes. You learn how to stay calm in tense moments when you're playing for the old Admirals of Amsterdam.
Exactly, yes, you do.
Matt Money Smith, if you would, you've really championed, and it's beautiful. You know, a lot of guys in your position would be looking out for number one, and whatever happens to the riffraff beneath me, I don't care. But you have used your position of influence to try and help Eddie Spaghetti out.
Yes.
Reach another high-profile radio gig, specifically The Fan in New York, as Mad Dog or Mike.
Mike's make, on.
Make is a Mike.
He's ready to go on The Fan.
And Spaghetti wants that gig.
New York sports radio.
I think the news of Wednesday about Danny Dimes and Eli.
A good one.
Yeah,
could call.
I don't want to put it in your head. You usually play caller, New York-based caller, into the Spaghetti Show.
Okay. I'll be Ernie from Queens.
Ernie from Queens?
Ernie from Queens. Here we go.
All right, before the break, some time for calls.
You're up against the break already.
Ernie
you
from
better
Queens.
Get it in quick, money.
Ernie from Queens, you've been holding on for a while. Ernie, what's going on?
Eddie, I got to know. How close are we to the break? I got a lot to say.
You got
are
plenty
we good?
Of time. You got enough time.
Are we good? All right, here's my question. How about this? How about Eli goes on a two-game run here, right? and then you trade him for multiple first rounders. We replenish the O-line and a D-line, and Gettleman is carried down in a ticker tape parade through the Galley of Champions. What do you think?
Ernie, I got to tell you,
two firsts is what I want for Eli after these.
You got to stop rubbing that magic genie bottle. It's not going to happen. I got to tell you, I'm miserable. This is the worst absolute scenario for the Giants with Eli coming back. These are must lose games. You got to be at the top of the draft, and you can't be picking ninth. Daniel Jones beats all the reps.
What you're thinking there, because I was thinking the same thing, and I don't want you to make my point. I want credit for it here, Eddie. How about this? Lose the games, draft Tua. I don't like this Danny Dimes guy. I'm already done with him. The Cardinals did it last year. Get him out. Get me Tua.
What's wrong with Jones?
What's wrong with him? This is the worst season I've had to endure. Guy's a nightmare.
You're not wrong there. He's taking some bumps along the way, but he's a rookie. He's going to be fine. He needs all the reps he can get, which is why.
Thanks for the newsflash. He's a rookie.
This ankle injury is the worst thing to happen to the Giants and Daniel Jones' career. He needs all the reps he can get. You know, getting embarrassed, Eli getting embarrassed on Monday Night Football versus the Eagles is really bad for his legacy as well. We don't just see him go under 500 for his career record.
L.A. fans are, now let's critique quickly after.
He did well.
Let's core him.
They sling some barbs at him. Now it's on his board op to pop the guy down so he can't interrupt him.
Right.
Terrible board op, Eddie. Get a new guy.
L.A. radio people are hard to knock off their spot if they decide, hey, Kobe's the best. Like, well, Magic Johnson was really a better Laker than Kobe. Like, no way, man. Why do you think that? Because Kobe's the best, man. Like, that's the kind of circular logic you get into with callers there. The people of New York are brassier about it, and they'll shoot you down. Correct me if I'm wrong, Money. In New York especially, the audience is going to require, they're going to respect some pushback from the host. They're not going to let him get rolled like he
just got. Well, I think the thing is New York is, you know, not to get too technical about it, but New York is caller-driven sports radio. That is, and L.A. is not. L.A. is host-driven, create your own content. If you're rolling calls in L.A., your show sucks, and you suck. In New York, that's what people want. They want to hear you argue with Ernie from Queens and Ronnie from Long Island, and they expect that back and forth because that's their style of sports radio. So you better be on your toes, because if a caller humiliates you, you're done. You know, you can't, and that's what's happened to Mike these last few years, is he's just kind of caught himself in these circular arguments.
Do we need
arguments.
To try it again? You want to do a different subject? Like, I think I'd like to hear you get up and defend your guy, Danny Dimes, a little bit. You know, like, take a look around the rest of pro football. We got it good with Danny Dimes. You know, like, give some
call in.
I don't need to defend him.
You're next up. One call leads us to the next. Come on.
This is the worst situation like the Giants could possibly have happened to them.
How about your Saul from Secaucus? Here we go.
Okay.
All right. I got another call on the line. Saul from Secaucus. What's going on?
Hey, Eddie. That last guy had some really strong opinions.
He did.
I don't know why you didn't fight, really. I think Danny Dimes is pretty good. Don't you think he's good? But then again, I like to see our boy Eli one last go around. Good for him, right?
Well, a lot of people have been saying that they want to see Eli go out on top. They want to see him go above 500 for his career record, beat the Eagles once. There's, you know, we got another matchup versus the Eagles. But the problem is this. You have the Redskins and you have the Dolphins in your schedule. If you win this game versus the Eagles and then beat those two teams, you're now out of the running for Chase Young, which is the worst thing to have in this team. Look, you got $70 million in cap space. You got possibly a top two pick with the record standing what it is right now. You got to keep it at that the rest of the way. Bottoming out is the best answer for Gettleman and the Giants.
I'd like to hear you. This is what I would throw in there to really hammer the point. Like, go get me Kirk Graham. Find me Dave Brown. Anybody, put them in there. I want these games to be lost guaranteed before
exactly
they kick
right.
off.
Exactly. Like, Eddie, you got to come. Like, when he says that, you got to say, no, Saul, you jackass. We got to lose these games.
Eli's a hero for all the time
Chase
in the
tri-state.
But it's time to lose. That's right. I said it. I want to lose.
All right, we can go hot take. Alex Tanny should be starting, not Eli. That's my hot take.
But you got to say, it's not Alex Tanny. You know what I would do? Tanny. Tank with Tanny.
Tank with Tanny.
That's what I'm doing.
Let's get it started. Hashtag tank for Tanny.
Yeah, see, now you got a little campaign. Now you're owning it.
Now we're doing it. Now we got a tank with Tanny.
There you go.
Exactly right. You yearn for, hashtag yearn for Young. That's what I need. Chase Young, yeah, Lawrence Taylor, 2.0. That's what I want.
I'm also not lying about the tanny thing. I think right now, legitimately is. But think about it. What good does Eli starting do? It's a lose-lose for Eli. If he wins the game, it throws him out of draft slot. People are going to now doubt Jones. If he loses, if he gets crushed on national TV, his record's below 500, and it's going to be more embarrassing for his legacy. It's a lose-lose.
I want you to be bigger, and then I like that. Like, I think if we love Eli. You want the truth, though?
Alex Tanny.
Hey, guys, like, if we could just suspend.
Take it down.
If we could suspend the charade for a moment, I would like Tanny to get the start. The heck with your charade.
You know what?
If Cashman doesn't sign Gerrit Cole, I'm out as a Yankee fan. Mets, welcome me in. What do you got for me there?
That might happen. I mean, they had. Hopefully the meeting went well. They said, bottom line, the dollars will be there. Cole, you better come here, get out of Anaheim or whatever else Houston you have in mind. New York is the spot.
Where do you come down on poultry?
Yeah. I eat way too much turkey this Thanksgiving, so turkey for me is
Get out of here, you bum. Move back to L.A. We're a pastrami town. That's what you should be eating.
My meat list begins and ends with sausage. Done. Next. All right. Now let's move on. Do we want to talk about the Patriots or just jump in? The state of the Patriots? Do they intrigue you right now?
I don't know. We could get Willie in. He could do like a 4 or 5 minute
I don't
piece.
Think we need to revisit that subject.
No one else needs
subject.
To speak.
I think
right,
let's just get to it. Let's go
get to
right
the Red
to
Challenge. All right.
The Week 14
let's
Red
go.
Challenge flag picks.
Red Challenge flag picks.
Woo, woo. Here we go. You know what? I'll throw one in, a bonus one, because of this Eli Manning news. It does look like Eli's going to be under center. Let's start with Eddie Spaghetti. Who do the Giants have again? They got the
Eagles on Monday night.
Oh, the Eagles on Monday night, as you mentioned there. All right,
big
go ahead.
Monday
suddenly
night game.
A little
big
more one. Intriguing than it was 24 hours ago. Eddie Spaghetti, Eagles, Giants.
I think it's less intriguing. I think that the Giants would have won with, not would have won, but I think they would have been more competitive with Jones. With Eli's been in really bad versus the Eagles in his career, especially away games. This is going to be pretty brutal.
How do you know that Eli hasn't, like, actually the rest he's had for whatever, 8 weeks, 10 weeks?
Put a little juice in that arm of his,
is like,
right?
Okay, I'm feeling
I'm
like
start slinging
I'm
it around.
The issue, I can throw the ball now.
The main issue is their tackles have been, like, Soler's been banged up and Remmers is just not good and their tackles have been bad. The one reason Jones has been alive is his mobility. Eli has mobility. Jones' arm also is more alive right now than Eli's was. Eli couldn't hit the sidelines in OTAs, so it's like, I just think it's going to be, the one thing I will say positively is that this will be Saquon's best game by far. He's going to get a bunch of check down passes.
Did you see the Eagles play last week? I did. They weren't very good.
Yeah, they're weird, though. They're better. Their defense is terrible away. They're good at home. Their splits are really weird. So I think that's what's going to happen. The Giants are going to run into like an Eagles buzzsaw, like maybe make a push for the division. Saquon will have a good game. Eli will look fine, but nothing great.
You know what? As far as Eli goes, all of a sudden, it feels like the universe has settled on the idea that Eli is done, that there's nothing left there, and he needs to have some dignity and hang it up. If he plays well for even one game, I think that would be enough, obviously, the 15 prior years. Do you suppose that Eli can play himself back into a starting spot somewhere, not with the Giants, obviously, but with a QB needy team for 2020?
Not as a starter.
No?
No, I think someone could take a flyer as a backup if he wants. I don't know if he wants that, but I don't think anyone's signing him.
I wonder, you know, I guess
starter.
The spot remains for him.
One game is not going to be enough. If he, for whatever reason, he lights it up, and then maybe there's a chance. But one game against the Eagles.
I don't know. Matt Flynn got paid a lot. I know different
Matt
age
Flynn was
and everything.
Not at the,
he wasn't his own commodity. No one knew who he was, right. But that one game, you know, and he immediately got
Everyone's
beat out by a third
Everyone's seen
Eli
for the last 2 years looking like he was falling apart.
Well, at least for himself, if he plays well, I wonder if he thinks like, I was ready to hang it up and I don't want to be a backup, but maybe if I can get into a spot where I can compete in training camp, I'll give it a shot. The place for him as far as a backup goes is to go back and catch up with Tom Coughlin, which is what...
Well, I don't know if Tom Coughlin's going
to
be there.
I know. Well, Foles, they're going to have to move on from, right? So, if they're going to roll with Minshew, is Foles just going to stand there and take his money? I guess that's he's proven
he's
willing
to
do that, yeah. What's it? Weird...
So I think we're all...
One of the weirdest mysteries... Okay, we
all
agree.
Taking the Eagles?
Yeah.
We're all taking the Eagles. I just wanted to throw that one in there. Okay, let's move on to the big ones here. And boy, massive stuff here. I say it all the time, and it bears repeating for the million and first time, which is 17 of the last 20 teams to go to the Super Bowl had a buy. So it is just an illusion that that what you're chasing is to get into the mix. What you practically need, what you realistically need, based on the last decade of evidence, is you need to not just get in, you have to be able to take a week off before your game.
Is it about the week off, or is it about playing at home?
I think it's the one less. I think the teams are so close.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Absolutely.
I think it is
more. It is so hard to win games that to not have to win three and only win two is such a huge advantage to me.
Yeah, I think, right. It's one fewer
it's
game
like
that you have
to
win.
That to me is so much bigger than anything
I think
else.
The teams are closely packed together. Yeah. Dominance is.
But I think even the wild card teams, you know, to some degree, you know, especially in the NFC. I mean, either Seattle or San Francisco are going to be a wild card team. I want no part of that. You know what I mean? If you're the bottom team, if you're the Cowboys or the Vikings or Packers, and your first round opponent is the Niners or the Seahawks, it's like, ugh.
Right. You know? Well, that's the way it's tracking right now, is that you're going to get the Niners down in Big D for a classic playoff game in terms of the postseason history between those two teams. And the 49ers, they are right now. It's an interesting statistic: margin of victory, point differential. The Patriots and the Ravens and the Niners are tracking to historic levels versus the preceding six teams. The top two teams in scoring margin in each of the last six seasons made it to, at minimum, the conference title game. So the Niners would be the anomaly of that statistic if they couldn't break through. But the Saints, they beat them, then they're back in a decent spot, and it probably still comes down to that Week 17 game in Seattle, which is marvelous stuff. But to the here and now, Handsome Hank, Niners, Saints, choose. Oh, I can't wait to hear what everybody says about this one.
I'm going to take the Niners.
Are you really?
Yep, at the
Super Bowl. What? Mad Money Smith, and there goes Eddie Spaghetti. Threw it. Go ahead, Spaghetti. You're the only one to throw the flag. Make your case for the Saints. I can't believe all three of us took the Niners.
See, I thought I was going to be the lone wolf, as they are on the game.
Well, you know, I self-validate. I picked the Niners to win the division. I can't jump off now.
Right.
I will say this: as the number one overall leader for the Red Challenge flag picks,
whatever.
Who went 7-1 last week?
I went 5-0 last time out. Okay.
This is the toughest week, I think, to pick games by far. I'm just taking the Saints because one at home. 49ers coming up a tough loss. I think they may, skid a bit, and, they're afraid now that the Seahawks are in the division lead, mentally, if the players are right. And, again, it just comes down to if Drew Brees is on fire with Mike Thomas, I just don't see Jimmy G going score for score with him. That being said, what can the 49ers defense do? To me, it's, a 51-49 percentage game, this one. I'm just a coin flip. I don't know. I'm going to go.
So you go with the Superdome.
Yeah, pretty much.
51-49, go home team.
Yeah, they haven't been as dominant this year, though, under the dome. So I don't think that's as big a factor as it would have been. You would have pointed it out a year ago.
Right. Yeah. And Drew Brees hasn't been on fire like he has in the past, especially against a defense like this one.
People, I don't know what it is with Drew Brees that people don't like to say that. People jump all over Tom Brady, I guess because they want to knock him off the football mountain. Drew Brees is still, and people don't, they take offense when you point out, Drew Brees doesn't look magical anymore.
Right.
Thomas,
he's still got the completion percentage, but the sizzle. Just
look at the passes he's thrown.
That's what I mean. The sizzle's not there.
And then Alvin Kamara's not at full strength. And
Kittle's just such a difference maker.
Yep.
When he's out there.
That's exactly right.
You know, you pair that defense with an offense that has a difference maker like Kittle, and that's the guy that it's been. You know, it'd be nice to have it. And Deebo Samuel's starting to emerge now.
Yep. As we forecasted.
And again,
on this show,
they have so much speed at running back that it just seems like it doesn't matter who they put back there. There's a physical, fast back to be the identity of what Kyle Shanahan wants.
They all do look
to be
very similar, don't they, those running backs there?
They do. Look at them. They're all muscly, and then they turn the corner like, whoa, there he goes. Look, Eddie said it was a tough loss they're coming off. I thought it was a great loss.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a game plan. They came in. They executed it perfectly, and they just happened to be playing a very good team. And a break or a bounce here or there, and the Niners get out of there with a win. This is a Ravens team that had just dominated the Texans, Patriots. Right. I mean, any good team that came in there, they wrecked, and the Niners were trading blows with them.
If you played that game at a neutral venue, potentially, let's say Miami, for example, in February, Who knows how that shows up?
Well, and then you wonder if it rains in Miami on that if you do get this Super Bowl. Some people ironic. Would call that ironic. That yeah, I think so. Some other people would call it coincidental.
Got there first.
I wouldn't.
Or coincidental. Yeah, I think
either
that's
one. The bottom line is I'm right and about that. But yes, I mean, I keep saying this about the Niners. How many signature wins do they need to have before people stop acknowledging, hey, this is going to make people start paying attention to the 49ers. Right. How many of those games do they have to play? Their two losses, overtime to the Seahawks without Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle.
And they had a chance to win it with a kicker.
And the backup kicker misses the kick, right, or else they would have been undefeated after that one. And then this loss. And, you know, you always talk about what do you learn, a copycat league, what will the rest of the league pick up from what the Niners did to slow that down. The rain maybe impacts everything. I don't know that the rain throws it off.
That maybe helps the Niners a little bit.
Maybe, but either way, the thing you just can't replicate is the thing we've talked about all season, is that the front that they have. I mean, Fred Warner now getting some buzz and everything, yeah, but it's the front that, yeah, you can't run. It makes it much harder for Lamar Jackson or any other human being to run when your D tackles and Nick Bosa are getting such a push that they're disrupting your ability to even turn around and hand the ball off to a guy. So I think that obviously that will travel down to New Orleans and
like the Niners.
I don't think anybody's going to be stunned if
I like the Niners.
Saints win it, but yes,
I'm with you.
All right, there we go. One down.
I'm with you.
Several to go. Now we go to the Ravens and the Bills. Matt Money Smith, the Ravens riding high, back to that margin of victory business that I already brought up. Talk about a historic thing. The league leaders average around 12 points by the end of the year in margin of victory over the last 6 years. The mighty Chiefs, as a for instance, 12 points a game is what their wins came by a year ago. These Ravens are winning games by 16.5 points. And on the road, it's 22 points. They're obliterating teams on the road. Why the Bills might be able to stand up to that, I don't know. But let's get an answer from Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Buffalo, choose.
Boy, oh boy, this is tough. It is. I do believe this is tough. I'll take the Ravens.
I'll throw it. You know
good.
What?
Really?
I'm not kidding. Like, I thought it was a tough call.
A week ago, you didn't think that the Bills could beat the Cowboys.
No, I didn't.
And I took the Bills over the
and
Cowboys.
And I took the Bills over the Cowboys. And now you think the Bills can beat the Ravens.
At home.
I think that, first of all, they had, you know, the extra couple of days. So I think they get over the hype of themselves and where they sit currently, and they're tracking towards the playoffs. Gives them an extra beat to refocus, a relatively young team. But the more practical thing is that the defense is dynamite, man. The defense is plumb
dominant. Josh Allen's been darn good.
Yep.
These last few weeks.
Both of those things are true,
but they just played the dynamite defense and still managed to beat them in the Niners. How are the Bills going to do
in Buffalo? And with what's in front of us at any given time, it feels like, well, who's going to beat the Ravens? Well, so are they just going to not lose again? They may not. I don't ask that rhetorically. They may win out and then run through the playoffs. They're tracking in that direction, but I suspect they have another loss coming before December's through. And this is a prime spot for it. That joint's going to be hopping. This is the biggest game in Buffalo since Ryan Fitzpatrick beat
Until
the Patriots
next week
a
when
decade
they play
ago.
The Patriots.
Right.
Well, no, both of those will be on the road.
On the road, okay.
And that's where they'll slip up. They go to Pittsburgh for Sunday night football, and then after that they go to Foxborough.
I can't decide to me, the 49ers, and you said it, Hank, they're the dynamite defense, but you just saw some of those issues with Lamar return. Inability to pass accurately on the outside. The Niners took away the entire middle of the field. They forced him to run outside, which elongated those runs that were 30, 40-yard runs to be 8 and 11-yard runs. Instead, they're still effective. They still won the game. But, you know, the Bills' defense is really good. And if they can replicate, you know, what the Niners were able to do, which is very hard because of talent, specifically on the defensive line, I could see it staying close. Now, the flip side of that is still not buying that offense. You know, I'm right. still not quite buying Josh Allen.
Exactly. As,
you know,
good, as well as he's played over the last month, six weeks.
That team.
You can't make mistakes against that team. You know, if he throws a pick, a couple picks in there, then I think that they wind up being on the wrong side of like a 15 to 20 point blowout as well.
Like the Patriots
like
game.
Like the Patriots.
Earlier this
Devin
year.
Singletary starting to come on a little bit. That's
Cole Beasley's been great.
That's a big factor against these Ravens.
John Brown's speed's been great. Like, it's impressive. I mean, I think they're this is a funny thing, right? They're gonna get the number one wild card spot. And when you look at the way the AFC stacks up, probably gonna play like the Chiefs in the first round.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what they would have done in the draft and so how that would have impacted things, but consider the Bills could have had Antonio Brown. What then if they had Antonio Brown on their team now?
Yeah.
I don't know if they had Smoke Brown or if he was their fallback. I think he was. They probably wouldn't have Smoke Brown, so it wouldn't be be a gargantuan.
And he's been great. John Brown's been great for them.
Spaghetti, anything else to add on that one?
Ravens are the best team in football. Lamar is the best player in football right now. No reason to pick against them just yet.
All right.
Here we go.
He would have thrown the flag, Dave, if he was going to say something.
I love that.
Okay?
I think that's the line of the year.
I'm mad about that one. I know. All right. Here we go. Now, this one's to you, Eddie Spaghetti. It's their third meeting in two seasons now. A lot of people thought this would be the AFC title game. Perhaps it still will be. Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots, Eddie Spaghetti.
I want to get flags thrown at me here because I want to take the Chiefs. That's one.
You're only getting one.
Wow, only got one.
You know what? I'm gonna take the Chiefs.
Me too.
I think. Are you really?
I would have thrown the flag, Dave. If
I didn't realize you hadn't. Okay, so wait. So money's the only one who threw it. So make your case for the home team.
Not buying the Chiefs. That's really what it is. They, you know, the running game's not right. This is starting to look like a one-year anomaly, you know, that what that offense was able to do. I watched, and again, it's bias, total bias by me. I thought the Chargers outplayed him in Mexico City. Turnovers did him in, but as far as a defense being able to corral Pat Mahomes and what Andy Reid wanted to do with the options available to him, they did it. You know, they got the advantage in a one-score game because of interceptions thrown by Phillip Rivers, and that was really it. Otherwise, you know, what is a very good Chargers defense, certainly not an elite to the level of the Patriots level defense, totally bottled them up. And I think this last week, you see the 40 points, and it's a fluke. It was bad interception from Derek Carr. It was just horrible quarterback play from Derek Carr that gave them short fields, multiple opportunities to score on short fields, because if you look at the total yardage and if you just watch the way Pat Mahomes played, the lack of a running game, it wasn't that impressive.
Well, and also Josh Jacobs, again, the season-long thing that is going to take them down, as we foretold 2 months ago, is that they're not going to be able to stop teams from running the ball.
Their run defense is terrible.
I do think Sony Michel, if they, you know, I imagine if Dave can figure that out, Bill Belichick is probably thinking that and is probably two steps ahead of that. And thinking that's exactly what the Chiefs think we're going to do, because Damashek mentioned it.
So Rex Burkhead, here you come.
I don't know what, but yes, it would seem to set up that this is a breakout for Sony Michel, much like it was in the last Sunday of January 2019 when the Patriots took him down and he had that huge first half there. The other thing, too, is I'm kind of talking myself into the Patriots, obviously, more and more. The other thing is, too,
join the crew.
When we talked to Willie McGinnis earlier in the week, I said, how much do you think the illness? I mean, the Patriots had to take two planes because so many guys on their team were sick. And he said, no excuses. I think that's fine that they don't make excuses and it's admirable and all that. But I do think it also probably was a factor. No? These guys all had the flu. They're chasing all these. They're chasing.
So did the Seahawks, you know, and they were able to rally and knock off the Vikings. I think it's. You know, clearly you could see the frustration, and especially with all the lip reading that was going on with Tom Brady with his receivers, that they're just not quite on the same page. At the same time, I just look at it as you can afford to run the ball, take a couple shots downfield, let the defense do the work. Not the same Chiefs team as we saw last year. Rams team, not the same Chiefs team. It was a fun 1 year. Hooray, passing the ball is exciting.
Boy, you're really off.
You're really off that.
I am.
I mean, so. Because first of all, you've got Andy Reid who proved twice that he could find ways to break down the Patriots defense, which obviously was last year's Patriots defense rather than this year's one. But I think there's plenty he can show them that will help them.
Look, you're right. I should back off a little bit because they still do things in that offense that if I were a defensive coordinator, I'd be banging my head against the wall. Like, their new thing this year is they're doing a ton of these tight end screens that you've got three separate screens you can choose from, two running backs, a wide receiver, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a tight end that's grabbing this screen, and there's no one in front of them for 30 yards. They're still doing great, great things. It's just not the same.
Teams catch up. We talk about all the time, these cynics who keep saying they're going to catch up with Lamar Jackson eventually. The question is when. Does it happen after the Lombardi? Then that's going to be fine with the John Harbaugh and company. As you can see, this is just the latest example. Defenses will always figure it out and be able to slow it down. It doesn't just go on forever. Even Dan Marino, the big sophomore year, it's very much, I keep saying it, Dan Marino and Patrick Mahomes are similar in that regard.
And Pat's still having a great year. Right. I mean, his numbers are still great. He's still throwing for like over 300 yards per game.
You just cannot obscure all the other deficiencies on the team.
I also think the big change, obviously, from last year, not having Kareem Hunt in the backfield, who was, you know, I think really like underestimated in that offense with Mahomes there. And then Tyreek Hill has not been healthy and at full speed pretty much all year.
That really is.
And so both of those things, right? Like, if you can, he definitely against the Chargers, he went out of the game there, and that was when you saw that offense slow down. Yeah. I think you'll see some fun stuff from the Chiefs. I'm going to the game.
That's right. Exciting. Awesome. Good for you.
Thanks,
have a great time out there. Now let's go to the NFC West, shall we? I put a fork in these as the heroes on around the NFL like to say on these Rams a week ago. They probably still are doomed by virtue of the loss to the Vikings head to head. That's probably what's gonna make it tough for them. But if the Vikings slip up, that's their shot to sneak in the back door of these playoffs. Seahawks paying them a visit. Of course, you'll recall it was one of the more entertaining games of the season.
Well, we know he can't choose because he said he's got his bias to. That he said they were going to miss the playoffs.
I'll choose it.
Well, he can still choose it.
Here we go. Dave, Seahawks, Rams.
Choose.
I'm going to take the home team, the Los Angeles Rams. It was a great shootout up in Seattle the first time around. You'll remember that. It was a great game.
I do remember that. I'm just like, wow.
It was a marvelous game. The Seahawks,
They're really, really good.
Everybody can get better.
And getting better on both sides of the ball.
Really good and getting better.
But they also, I'm not the first to point it out, obviously. Every game they play is a weirdo game. Every game feels like some Scorsese epic, but The Irishman was pretty,
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I was saving it for my flight to Boston. Same thing. Got a long one to Jacksonville on Friday.
It's a good one. There just aren't a ton of real high highs and real low lows. But the Seahawks games are always that.
It always feels like
Seahawks are going to get embarrassed. Like, oh, now look at that rally. The Seahawks are embarrassing this team. Oh, the Seahawks are going to blow this one. Oh, Russell will pull it out in the end. Meantime, didn't care for the uniforms they were, but they were hurt by the visitors' purple. That didn't really highlight what those uniforms
did highlight. Those uniforms,
they're literally,
if
literally
they do anything, highlight. They highlight.
Here's my pushback on that in the Rams. Remember when everybody said, hey, all is well. After the Falcons win and the Bengals win, all is well with the Rams. See, it took a minute, but they're fine now. They're running the ball, Goff's. And then it's like, you guys know it was against the Falcons and the Bengals, right? That's what we're talking about. And then here comes reality with a big right hook to the head in the form of the Vikings and the Ravens and these other teams, you know, that remind you, oh, yeah, they're not a really great team. You know, they're good and they're going to beat bad teams, but they're not at the level of the Seahawks. And the one interesting wrinkle is, and I hate historical stats, every team is different, but for whatever reason, the Seahawks and the Rams seem to split every year.
Yep.
And usually it's the opposite. Seahawks will win in LA, the Rams will win up in Seattle, but I don't know. There is something about in division. It's very hard to beat your division twice, no matter what level you're at. You hear that all the time because there's just such a familiarity with opponents. But to me, the Seahawks look like a team that is very, very good and getting better every single week.
The one thing for the Rams, I would say, is that watching them last week, Todd Gurley suddenly looked a little bit more like Todd Gurley should look like, rather than the Todd Gurley we saw for about the last year. And that, if that keeps going, then that's a good thing. But again, against that Seahawks run defense, it's like
totally
even
different
Todd
than
Todd Gurley
Cardinals.
At his best is going to be
producer and LA sports enthusiast Kleinman back there is whispering in my ear, like, hey now, they were a Zerline kick away from winning that game up in Seattle. Now, that was, it's a different Seahawks team than what it was. What else are you shouting at? You got anything else you want to throw in there, Kleinman? No? Nothing?
No.
That's
more.
The extent of it?
Do you want a donut?
There's one left.
I think that, like the Irishman, the NFL regular season is very, very long. And if you make, if you constantly are changing your opinion through the season, you're ultimately going to look bad. Just kind of, unless you're dim and you keep making bad predictions. But I feel like Sean McVay, I have it coming to me that I said they're not going to make the playoffs. And I've been self-validating for the last month. Like, see, they're not good. I think Sean McVay still has it before the end of the season to say, like, you dummies. You think, what, I turned into a boob overnight?
No, I think he's fine. I have no issues with Sean McVay. I think he's still a great coach.
I think he just doesn't have the quarterback
He doesn't have the quarterback. He doesn't have a running back that's
right.
healthy. He's got a terrible offensive line. That offensive line versus Jadeveon Clowney, look out. I mean, and I know Chandler Jones is great, and all, but Arizona, I mean, they lost five straight. They're done. They're, you know, they need to focus.
Don't hyper-focus on Chase Young. Don't talk that way. The more you talk up how bad they stink, the more likely it is that they'll beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday in a game.
Oh, the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Is that who they're playing?
Oh, yeah. They're
in Arizona, or in Pittsburgh?
In AZ.
Ah, Steelers are screwed.
You know what would be ironic? If they had a 99-yard interception return.
That would be. It would be a lot of fun.
That would be ironic.
Right. That would be ironic.
See, that's irony. You understand?
That would be ironic.
Do you now see that that's ironic? You just described exactly what I said about the Ravens and Niners.
Why would you do that?
It's exactly
We're
what it is.
Done.
Thank you.
We've got one last game to pick.
Sorry. Here we go. This game is that, I think it was 4 years ago, 5 years or so ago now, in December, the first weekend at that, Handsome Hank Hodgson, Matt Money Smith, and I made the journey up for a Thursday
That's
night
right.
football
you
game
did.
In
exactly
the Windy
right.
City, and
it was
we had
freezing.
A yay time. It
we
started.
Did. We had a great time, didn't we?
First we started off, Money and I, no, first, actually, Handsome and I took him around my old haunts in the neighborhood.
You took him around, all right.
I took him to the neighborhood.
Talk
I took
about
him,
tying it on.
Well, listen.
Dave made a late night text message.
I did not. Now, I don't even know what that means. Now listen to what I'm telling you. We went out. We had beers
really
in one place.
He's like, boy.
I don't know what to say.
We went to the half show. You ever been to the half show?
Of course.
You have?
We had
yes.
That was the best.
That was such a best.
Come on.
My favorite thing about that was sitting there. We had a lot of delicious things to eat and drink. And on the TV screen, without any irony at all, the Chicago, whatever TV station is playing a retrospective of the 85 Bears.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, of course.
It's on a loop.
Just on a loop.
Right.
Yeah. You can't just watch Michael Jordan for 24
right.
hours a day.
Exactly.
We've got to mix in some Bears. Come on. We had a great time there. If you're ever in Chicago, go over there.
On
Diversey there. You go down the flight of stairs like Laverne and Shirley.
Can't beat it.
Oh, it's delicious. Get the calamari. Don't tell them Dave sent you. But the Michelob on draft, that's the real winner.
Night belongs to Michelob. Come on.
Then where do we go?
Money.
Everywhere.
Do you want to sing the Michelob song? Yeah, I know you love to sing the old beer tunes.
I do the Hams. I do the Löwenbräu. Remind me what Michelob is.
Well, I when you said that, I couldn't remember.
One thing stands clear.
Beer after
got beer,
beer.
If you've got the time we've got the beer.
The night belongs to Michelob.
Michelob.
Yeah. What a name, by the way. Michelob.
Yeah. I love drinking them Michelobes. That's good, but then the Löwenbräu.
Löwenbräu's the best one. Here's to good friends.
Tonight
is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must be something more somehow. So tonight, let it be Löwenbräu.
Let it be Löwenbräu. Oh, they'd always be having a good time.
And then there's Hams, the
wild. I don't know
Hams. Well, it's because you probably shouldn't sing it anymore because, it's politically incorrect and cultural appropriation. But hey.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. Now we have to hear it.
So there's a Hams bear, but they basically have a bunch of people. I probably shouldn't do it, right?
I don't know what it is, but probably not. If you've repeated that to yourself twice, it's politically incorrect, and I probably shouldn't do it. Then
we probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, they had Pump and Iron City beer. You know, and then they had Iron City Light. Like, hey, make it an IC Light, and IC Light, and then it was young professionals. You know. Tripping the light fantastic right. on the banks of the Three Rivers. All right, let's get to that Bears.
It's basically like a wampum drum. It's like bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. From the land of sky blue waters. Waters! Yes, don't know hands. That's great.
That's outrageous.
Look it up. But
outrageous.
The drum is the key. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum. But then, after our twister on Thursday, on Wednesday night, Money and I had to be down on the field
like
at 8 a.m. It was very early.
It was very early, and the reports were that you were lying down in the end zone at 6:30 a.m.
Well, because we got out there, and we didn't. We hadn't brought stuff for frigid temps. I don't think it was. I don't know what we were.
No, they made us take it off.
That's what it was.
We had the cool.
And we had
the
it
like,
inside.
No, you got to take it off and it'll just be waiting right here. We're just going to do this.
And
shoot.
So we have our suits on, and our
we're
suits.
We're standing there like. Dave.
And they couldn't get the local ENG crew, couldn't figure out the cameras.
Forte.
And we're like, can we just go inside until you guys are ready to roll? And they're like, no, stay out
here.
We're
ready, we're coming. It was like 40 minutes later.
We were out there, it was really borderline 0 degrees.
It was a bad scene.
I mean, is there truth to the rumor that Dave had to lie down in the end zone?
He did. He did lie down. And I believe he prefaced it by saying, I'm just going to lie down real quick.
Waiting for an apology?
Announcing his intentions.
Keep on waiting. Never.
I got to look. Before I call this, I got to look at the weather in Chicago.
That's a great question. But you know what? I kind of think it favors the visiting team.
It does. 48. Or I'm sorry, 45. Oh.
No, I was going to say if it's frigid, doesn't that suit Zeke Elliott? What human being wants to try to catch that guy when it's frigid out? Let me stand in that guy's way.
Let me see. I said 45, but that's going to be the high. At night, 34. Wind, lake effect. Wind coming off the lake.
I mean, that's one of those things people talk about. Well, when the wind blows, it's much worse. For real, if you're ever at Soldier Field at night, it is a legit 25 degrees colder than whatever the temperature says.
I remember walking there that night to get to the game and just being like, this was a terrible
I can't do this.
It's really, it can be rough out there.
It almost reminds me of our trip, our Super Bowl trip to Minnesota. Were you walking with us when I insisted we walk and not take a cab 3 blocks to some party we had to go to? And I was all like, see, I told you everything was going to be fine, guys. And then we made a left, which is where the wind was. And we got a half a block before we had to duck into a doorway.
It's just another block down, Matt Money
no
said.
Big
like,
deal.
Well, I believe it's actually more several blocks away. Money.
Yeah, but look, it's not too bad.
Let's get to it. Handsome Hank. Yes. It's the Cowboys at the Bears. Choose.
All right, last chance, Cowboys. You got to win this one.
I'm going to agree with that one. The Bears making a little bit of a push here. Nothing from Eddie Spaghetti back there.
Very quietly threw that flag.
Money threw the flag. I mean, by the way.
Oh, you threw it?
I don't know if you've seen what Andrew Raby's been doing, but Money's not been very successful at this endeavor through this season.
I'm coming off a 5-0 week. I'm now 2 games above .500. I've gone like 9-1 in the last 2 weeks. I am now back in the mix.
Well, not this week.
You dirty Englishman.
My picks have not been going very
Money's
well.
Money's 33-28.
33-28.
What
now.
Am I? What am I?
What is that,
Eddie?
You are 27-19.5.
See,
these are not good.
How
picks.
Nice to not have to pick every week. Well, how nice. That's the difference. The 1 week that I had a terrible week, you weren't here.
Before we get to that, a quick, let's inject this real fast. Phil Rivers is playing quarterback where in 2020?
What?
Why would they?
Why are we doing this suddenly?
Because I just thought of it, and I wanted to ask that to Money earlier. And it's weird to me.
Don't know.
Why did that get out? Why? I mean, where did that come from? Like, yeah, the Chargers will bench Phil Rivers if he doesn't play well in the first half against the Broncos. Why? What's the upside of that getting out?
Yeah, I think there was probably enough talk of it in practice. You know,
really?
That would be my guess. I mean, you come off 8 interceptions in 2 must-win games, or 7 interceptions. You know, really, that you could just point the finger to some degree at one guy. Like, hey, the defense played well enough, the run game was good, and we had critical turnovers from 17.
And I just hate when
you lose both of those
guys,
games, and if you win, you're in control of the AFC West.
Exactly. I can tell you, at the end of that game in Mexico City, I was down on the sideline, and he obviously threw that game-ending pick, and the Chargers ownership group had come down from their suite to stand on the sidelines, hopefully to celebrate, you know, him coming in their direction.
Score,
to
2-point conversion, history repeats itself.
History repeats itself, and they were, to say the least, not particularly happy when that pick was thrown and then exited pretty sharp.
Yeah. The shame, I don't want to dig in on the Chargers, but the Mike Williams miracle catch goes for naught because of what was, I mean, pretty close to the same level of Hail Mary. It really was, though. As I said on Sunday night, it was a nice homage from the Rook, from Drew Locke, to honor Joe Flacco in that manner, to win a game doing with the Joe Flacco special. I'm just going to chuck it and hope we get a PI. We'll do that.
Oh, we got a PI.
I hated it in the moment when it was happening. You could see they're like, well, you just put James Lofton on the national call. Said, oh, you punt it here and you go to overtime. Or, I mean, you just kneel it down and go to overtime. No. You do what the Broncos did there. It's more likely you're going to get a PI than you're going to get a strip sack, scoop, and score it on zeros on the clock.
Right.
I hate that. And yet it was a PI by the great Casey Hayward.
To get on I didn't think it was a PI. And that's,
I just hate the call biased, in that spot. But
one, two, NFL, acknowledge you got it wrong. College has it right. It's a 15-yard penalty. It's not a spot foul.
That's interesting. I wonder if you could modify that in under 2 minutes or something like that.
Well, then it would be a spot foul. But I think if it's egregious and you tackle the guy, but when you're Hayward and you have the inside track to the ball, when the entire route you are inside of that receiver is considering where the ball is positioned, and when you go to turn around to try to track it because you see him turn around and you bump into him, that's not PI. That's just that to me, that's not something that's worthy of a spot foul at that moment in the game.
I agree that it should skew a little NHL-y, that you swallow the whistle at a certain point late in a game like that. That's a weird, bad way.
If you grab him and you're holding his arms and he can't go, okay, fine. Thing.
Okay, but make a case here for your Chicago Bears.
I just think the Cowboys have not beat good teams all year. The Bears aren't a terrible team. Their defense is still really good. They can still put up enough points like they did last year to complement their defense, and I think the Cowboys have shown us nothing to lead us to believe that they're capable of beating solid teams. The Bears aren't great. Trubisky's been okay. I think my issue with the Bears is having had the Chargers play them earlier this year and talking to a handful of people around that team, it doesn't really sound like a lot of their problems are personnel related. Now, look, it'd be nice if Ryan Pace gave Mitch Trubisky some guys that are over 5'3" to catch the ball. Turns out you could probably use height at the wide receiver position, and he is severely hamstrung on that front. But you're kind of hearing that for whatever reason, there's just this weird sort of naggy play calling, maybe taking too long to get plays in or being too conservative, and Mitch is just constantly second-guessing himself. In the last couple weeks, we've seen the guy throw 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards. Maybe they've just kind of said, all right, let's take the handcuffs off and
overthought,
let it fly a little bit.
I think that's what you said, overthought, but it had that feel to it. You purge Jordan Howard to get David Montgomery in, and then you don't use him for the first 2 months. All
they're
weird
banged
stuff.
Up. I mean, guys are down for them for sure, but I don't know. I think they're a good team, and the Cowboys haven't beat good teams all year. They have not beat a good team.
I mean, I know old curmudgeons say this as though it's the answer to everything, but in this case, turn around, just give Zeke the ball 30 times this game.
And I think Akeem Hicks might be coming back, right? Isn't that a potential of his return this week, or am I wrong on that?
I mean, that would be a major influence on their ability to run Zeke at him then. It's weird.
Because it's still a really good defense. Their defense is still top five.
What a weird spot for Jason Garrett to know he's getting fired if he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, too. And that seems all but certain. So that's that. Everybody enjoy week 14.
Thanks for the donuts.
We will be back after the week to try and make sense of that for you and project ahead to week 15. In the meantime, 480 Spaghetti, everybody behind the table there, Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith. Thanks so much, football fans, and Zaxby's. It's been a thin slice of heaven.